welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Amen. Well, it's good to be together today. And I just want to follow through on a few things. I want to talk about the kingdom again for a while. So we've been talking about the kingdom of God, and I've said to you that unless we understand the kingdom of God, and this is my emphasis, what I'm going to say now, we will never understand the church. We will never understand the church. Our pattern for the church, if we haven't got the pattern of God from this word, our pattern from the church is the way church is being done and being done. But we need to check with the word to see if that is parallel to what's happening out there, or if what's happening out there is indeed parallel to the word. And to that end, I want to follow on today, and God willing, next week. And I want to encourage you not to miss. These are important days, not only in the planet and the world in which we live, not only in the nation in which we are presently abiding, and the confrontation that's facing us as a nation, but as you and I, as individual Christians, as you and I, as a church, a local church here at BCC, it is important. It is important that we can recognize whether we are functioning individually and as a church according to this pattern, or according to the pattern of the church that is outside. There's a pattern, and we are called to follow the pattern. That's what the scripture says. So we, as I've said, talked about the kingdom of God, the fact that we'll never understand it. We talked about the fact, I've given you the scriptures, it's on record. You can get it downloaded in your app. We've talked about the various truths of the fact that God has called us specifically for a purpose, and He's called us out of darkness into the kingdom of the Son of His love. That's what the Bible says in Ephesians. So we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into another kingdom, the kingdom of God's dear Son. And as born-again believers, that's where we dwell. We dwell in the kingdom of God. Now, the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Praise God. It's spelt out simply there. Three words. It's righteous, it's peaceful, and it's full of joy. Glory to God. Do you know what those two last words tell me about the kingdom? Just by virtue of the fact there's peace there and there is joy there. It tells me that there is no poverty. It tells me that there is no heartache. It tells me that there is no death. It tells me that there is no opposition. Glory to God. Because there's peace. And God says, Jesus said, peace I give you is not as the world gives. So the kingdom of God is an awesome place. I want to move on because we have talked about that. And I want to take you into considering those kingdoms. The kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. The kingdom of God is the realm of God's reign, where Jesus is Lord. The kingdom of God is one of two kingdoms. We've already touched the other one. The other one is the kingdom of darkness. In the kingdom of darkness, there is no light. There's no truth. There is no revelation of God. In the kingdom of darkness, there is only that which comes by rebellion against the kingdom of God. Because the kingdom of darkness only began to exist when Adam and Eve turned their back upon God, and by that act decreed that what God says was not right, turned around here and accepted what the serpent who represented Satan said was true, and they chose to follow him. When with that act, they opened up another kingdom. Because until that happened, Satan had no followers. But from the time that happened, Satan had all the followers that existed around Adam and Eve, and then of course they had children and they were brought up with the same approach to the things of God. They were negative, they served Satan rather than God. In other words, God's will was not being done in their lives. God's word was dead in their ears. And so the kingdom of darkness existed. So there are two kingdoms, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of darkness. It's the kingdom of darkness that we need to shun. But we're talking this morning concerning the kingdom of heaven. I just sense to emphasize again how that kingdom of darkness came into existence. It came into existence because there was a choice made in favor of Satan and against God. We need to be able to say, Lord, let not my will be done, but yours. That the kingdom of God can perpetually be found in our lives, in our being, in our home, in our family, the kingdom of God. But the kingdom of God is vital. Now I want to expand from there. I want to talk about the purpose of the kingdom, because the kingdom of God is, in this society in which we live, of no value without something else, because the kingdom of darkness reigns in the hearts of the majority of people. Doesn't matter where you go, doesn't matter what country you go to, the majority of people, the kingdom of darkness is living in their hearts because they don't serve God, they just do whatever they want to do. They don't even consider, is this righteous or unrighteous? They just do it. They judge it by others rather than by God. And whilst we should all be one each other's example, this word, and this word alone, is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So when we come to talk about the kingdom of God, we've got to understand that it's not just the kingdom of God, but there are two that become one, and it's this, the kingdom of God and the church. Now let me just say this, and maybe you want to write just the thoughts down because they will become explosive as you dwell on it. The kingdom of God is the purpose of God, or the plan of God. Plan? What do you mean, Pastor? Plan? Why God created the heavens and the earth. He had purpose. He had a plan for it, and it was all going great until Adam and Eve opened the door for another kingdom with another king, to which people could make allegiance to that king. Let me just ask you, where's your allegiance today? Is it 100% with the King of Kings, or is there some percentage that another one has got? So the kingdom of God is one thing, but the church is another thing. The kingdom of God, then, we need to understand, is God's purpose. It's his plan. Romans 10:17 really spells it out when it says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. That's his plan for it. He wanted a heaven on earth. Praise God. You know, you hear me talk about the heaven on earth. Not steak on your plate while you wait, right? Praise God. We have that available to us as Christians. And understanding the church, therefore, is so important. So if the kingdom of God is God's purpose and plan, how is this purpose and plan going to get outworked? And what has it got to do? This plan of God has got to be to bring blessing upon the planet, to remove the darkness completely, and to deliver the people who have been brought captive by it into liberty and freedom. How is that done? Well, the kingdom of God, being the purpose, has now been given an instrument to accomplish it. That's the church. So the kingdom of God is the purpose of God, but the church is the instrument of God to fulfill the purpose of God. Now, do you start maybe to understand how important it is that we understand about the church? It's God's great plan for it. The church is not what we've been, that, well, in my lifetime, majority of people that I'm aware of, the majority, not all of them, have a concept of church, of going to church and singing some hymns and having to preach and things like that. And I'm not putting that down. I'm just trying to communicate that God has a purpose for the church. And it is not just going to church. Assembling yourselves together, as we've been reminded this morning by Jonathan in Acts chapter 2, is a natural thing. My Lord. You know, I'm married to my wife Hillary, and it's nice to be with her. And it's not so nice if I have to travel away or be away. I'd rather be with her. I'd rather be at home. The church is the church. And the church is the redeemed of the Lord, those who are being washed in the blood, those the Bible talks about them as being the called out ones. This is who the church is. So if you're born again today, you're a called out one. You've been called out of the kingdom of darkness. You've hearkened to the voice of God. You've responded to it. You've invited God into your life through Christ Jesus. And you now are a called out one out of the kingdom of darkness. And if you're called out of the kingdom of darkness, for goodness sake, where are we called into? That was, that was not a trick question. Okay. Yes, we're called into being the church. But in being called into the kingdom, into the church, we are the church. So I can't look at you for being the church. It starts with me looking at me. Am I the church? Because I'm just part of that church. And I'm just laying a foundation. We're going to go not deep, but we're going to go into a realm where we'll begin to understand why we're here this morning. And what this really looks like, and what happens after this when we go outside there, and all those sort of things. Because without this revelation, any redeemed person or any local church is going to miss out on the plan and purpose of God for which He intended them to be an instrument in His hand. The instrument in the hand of God against the kingdom of darkness is the church. And the church isn't a building. It's only a building that's been made with hands through Jesus Christ. It's you and me being built together. And within that privileged position, we are called to do exploits. But we have to start looking at what that looks like as the church. For instance, if I talk vaguely about say we were spirit beings and we hadn't been on the planet and we didn't know what human beings looked like, and I was trying to communicate to you what a human being looked like, I would probably start trying to communicate, you know, there's a torso, there's a neck, there's a head, there's some arms, and they got fingers on, and they got legs, and they got toes, and they got joints, and I'd be trying to communicate what a human body looks like. And caught me there. And I wouldn't do that justice if all as I did was say what I've just said. I'd have to break that up. I want every moving part. You know, I'm in real difficulties if these things don't bend when I want them to. And I'm in real difficulties if my ankles don't function the way they should function when I want them. You understand? It's crucial to this physical man that they all work. So if I talk to you about and describe to you the creation that God has made in man as a human being, then I'm going to give you detail. Because it's not enough to say, oh, there's a man. Hi, it is. I can stand like this all day. But is that what I was designed for? No, I can do so many awesome physical things. Do you understand? Now, there's nothing spiritual in what I've said. I'm just talking purely practically. But I'm trying to give you a parallel to understand, by giving the example of a human being, that the church is exactly the same. If you're going to describe the church, you're going to have to be able to just describe it in detail. If I said to you, what's a church? Describe the church for me. And what does it do? How would you go about that? What is the church? I'm not asking you now. I mean, you can think about it, but we're going to look at it. What is the church? Because I could, going back to this illustration of this human being here, I can stand before you like this. I could walk around here. I can talk to you. But, you know, I may have such, though they're invisible to you, I may have such physical problems inside of me that it really limits me so much of being able to do certain things. You know what I'm talking about. For instance, if you get a sore knee, you're going to have a hard job bending that knee, and so on. So if that is true to me as a human being, then it's got to be true to the church and to the local church. What does a local church look like according to Scripture? What is the object and purpose of the local church according to Scripture? And we'll never understand that until we find out what the Bible says about it. What does a local church look like? How does it function? How does it operate? All of that we need to look at and see, because we're living in the days of the coming of the Lord. It's a long time ago since they started singing, and it was right to start ushering in that period of time. These are the days of Elijah. And we're past those days now, church. We've passed them. And the church has got to be, and will be, triumphant. I want to be part of that triumphant church. But for that, we have to understand, again, man does not live by bread only, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. What does God say about the church? Not what do we think, not just what did that denomination do, or that denomination, or that denomination, but what does God say about the church? Because it's his church. It's nobody else's. And I'm part of that church. But I'm not the church. But I'm part of it. You're part of it. But what part of it am I? And what does that mean? What's the function of that person? Oh, and when you can start going into that, really, then church takes on a whole new dimension. We don't do things because we want to do things. We do things because of the purpose of God. Remember, the kingdom is the purpose. The church is the instrument. We are the instrument to bring about the purpose. Hallelujah. Do you hear what I'm saying? I'm not preaching. I'm trying to make this word live in the realm of which we take time out on a Sunday to come together. We give of our finances that the work of God could continue. We make ourselves available practically and physically to do the things that need to be done. Why? Yeah. I don't know about you, but I ever since I've been saved, the one challenge that's risen up within me, there's got to be more than this. There's got to be more than this. I had a borderline for many years, but I had an awe of God in my life, so it never happened. But I was frustrated and would wanted to say things to some of the leaders and who were far my senior. And I had no right. I had no right. But I want to tell you this. When you're born again, the Holy Spirit comes into your life, and it depends upon what you do with the Holy Spirit, what you allow him to do and how you allow him to function within you that makes the difference. Praise God, it's Christ in me that's the hope of glory. It's flowing out of my life is a river of living water because Christ is in me. I cannot be complacent. So therefore, sometimes there is a challenge. Well, I've experienced a challenge through my life where I've seen things and I thought, ah. Oh. And, you know, as a young Christian, yeah, it's not right for you to go and tell leaders things. Whippersnapper you. And nor should you. You should honor them. You should honor them. You should pray for them more. But as you grow up and you grow up in God, what God's been given you and putting in you, you should start to let it live out from you that others can see the example of God and Christ through your life. That you and I are not like the rest. Hallelujah. The life that now I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. It's a different life. I haven't just started to go to church because now I'm saved. I've been changed from the inside out. Hallelujah. I tell you, the church, is the greatest instrument on the planet. It's the most awesome instrument on the planet. Just to confirm, let's turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3, and let's just break in at... this is Paul's testimony. I'm just going to go from... I'm going to go from verse 1, chapter 3. You need to understand the Apostle Paul is an awesome instrument in the hand of God. I urge you to read the Gospels, but I urge you to live in the epistles. That's the revelation that God gave Paul. We are privileged that God found a man like Paul, that he was able to give this, him this revelation, having lifted up into the third heaven, and he gave him this revelation. That's why the epistles has a revelation over and above the Gospels. The Gospels have the revelation and teaching of Jesus Christ, but the revelation of this time was given to Paul for us. Verse 1 of Ephesians, I'll read it off here, is that? For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for you Gentiles. Can we just keep going down, chapter? If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me, he's talking about the fact that God took him into the third heaven. If indeed you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which was given to me for you, how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as I've already briefly written already, by which when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to his holy apostles and prophets, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. In other words, the Gentiles being not the Jews, but those who not Jews. Of which I became a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given to me by the effective working of his power. To me who am less... May God help us to be humble like this all the time. Less than least of all the saints, this grace was given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Now listen, I'm going to go back there. And to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent, this is, you should underline this verse in your Bible, to the intent that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known, who? Known by who? The church. To who? The principalities and powers in the heavenly places, according to the eternal purpose which he accomplished in Christ Jesus the Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence through faith in him. Therefore, I ask that you do not lose heart at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. What we've read there is simply this, that Paul was given the revelation which he has passed on to us, and he tells us it that the eyes of our understanding being enlightened, to me who am less than, wrong verse, to make all see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the ages has been hidden in God, who created all things through Jesus Christ, to the intent, for the purpose of, that now the manifold wisdom of God might be made known. Who? By who? By who? Who to? Who to? Who to? Don't be frightened of them. Who to? The principalities and the powers in the heavenly places, according, listen, to the what? Eternal purpose. Remember, the kingdom of God is the purpose of God, the plan of God. The church is the instrument of God to bring about the plan of God. So when this other kingdom came into being, from that time until now, it's ruled and reigned in the nations. I mean, so much so that Satan was able to say to Jesus in Matthew 4, he said, if you bow before me, I can give you all the kingdoms. Which ones do you want? That's how much authority he had. Praise God. But God has given the authority to the... to who? Are you sure? To the church. To do what? To make known to all the principalities and powers. Glory to God, the manifold wisdom of God. God's purpose. Now, do you understand how church is the most powerful thing on the planet? And yet it's so mediocre. It's viewed so mediocre. It's going to church. I will go to church. I won't go to church. I go to the prayer meeting. I won't go to the prayer meeting. It's an option. It's an option. I want to tell you, church, if you're born again, it is not an option. You're the church. It is not an option. You're the church. I'm the church. We're the church. It's the most exciting thing that you and I as a believer, other than our salvation, can ever get a glimpse of. Who are we going to reveal to and deliver to the wisdom of God? Who? The powers of darkness that govern our land and the nations of the world today. The purpose of the church is for that. Why do you think the devil's busy keeping the church complacent? Well, we go to church. We have been given the privilege, responsibility to expressing the power of God that is given to us in and through Christ Jesus, who lives in us and has built us together, the house of the Lord, the plan of God. And there is no room for the kingdom of darkness in that plan. And it's going to be dealt with. And we are the instrument that's going to ensure that that takes place. Glory to God. Because without it happening, but it's going to happen, Satan is taking this earth to a hell. It's a fact. Without it happening. Glory to God. Glory to God. I get so excited about the privilege I have as a Christian, that you have, that the church has. We need to read the back of the book, church. We win. We win. And if we win then, that means if Christ was in me now and he'll be in me then, I can be a winner all the time. All the time. But it's not my way, not my will, but Lord, yours be done.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.